Joshua chapter 3, and I hope that through this today will be a help to you and be an encouragement as well. But if we could just stand as we read the scriptures together, and we'll read verses 1, 2, and 3 as we introduce to this. We come to this portion of scripture and to understand the story of Joshua as the leader of Israel. He has been put in place, of course, by God, and Moses has installed him as the new leader of Israel to bring them to the promised land, the land that God promised to the children of Israel. Moses brought them out of Egypt with the intent of taking them there, but because of their unbelief, they did not enter into the promised land, and they failed that test and had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And now it is time to go at this thing again. And Joshua is the leader, and they're ready to go and to take the land and face this conquest and defeat all these nations that God promised He would destroy. And God would go before them to prepare the way. They would have the victory and to take the land. But in everything in life, as whether it's a trial or whether it's a testing that we face, there are obstacles. And they came to this obstacle at the very beginning. And it's a river called Jordan. This was the obstacle they had to face before going into Jericho to begin this conquest and to begin this taking over the land that God had promised to them. Begin reading in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." This morning I'd like to speak on this subject of passing the test. Passing the test. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity. Thank You for the church here, Pastor York, his wife, and their faithfulness. Thank You for these dear people who have assembled here that labor and work in the services or working in the nursery, the junior church. So many parts that are happening here to make this possible. I pray Your blessing on all of it today. And God, we ask that You'll speak to hearts through Your Word. And may the Holy Spirit of God work in each of us. And Lord, if there be one here that's not saved, may they hear the gospel clear and plain today. May they trust You. And for every Christian, Lord, that You have strengthened their faith, encourage them, build them up through the Word of God today, we pray. And we pray that You'll be glorified, Christ be exalted, we pray. For it's in His name we ask. Amen. And you may be seated. Passing the test. I don't know about you, but I never really enjoyed tests. Anybody here really enjoy testings? Don't enjoy tests. And I don't even enjoy giving tests. Some teachers are like that. We have our students that we teach different times throughout the year, and we have other teachers in the country, pastors that come in and teach. We have pastors in the states that come down and teach for a week, but when it's we teach and my wife teaches the ladies and I'll teach the men, we'll separate them for that week. They always enjoy that, but when it comes time to the test, I don't enjoy giving tests. I really don't. I try to help them as much as I can without being too easy, and because I don't enjoy tests myself. And especially when a teacher tries to give a difficult test. Those individuals ought to be taken out and something just done to them. I don't know what needs to be done to them, but that's not the purpose of a test. Somebody tell me what a purpose of a test is. What's the purpose of a test? Anybody want to give me an idea? Yes, sir. Testing knowledge. Very good. You don't test me what I don't know. You test me what I know, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. And last year we had the course once every 4 years. When a student graduates, they get a diploma from Global Bible University. And they also get a diploma from Louisiana Baptist University. That's an in-step program that we have that enables them to get a diploma from the United States. But once every 4 years, we use their curriculum and we use their tests and all of that. And they have a workbook. It's a long workbook that we have to teach through the whole time. And it's just fill in the blank stuff. And then the test is just randomly taking all those fill in the blank questions and putting them on the test. And it's all memorization. I don't like memorization tests. Test me what I know. Don't make me memorize statements, you know. But anyway, I'm venting right now, okay? But testing, that was just memorization. But a test is something that tests your knowledge of what you already know and whether you know it or you don't know it. Some did a good job, some did not do a good job. But we all must pass the test. Joshua came with the people of Israel to a place that was a test. Now, they had failed a test before. You remember, I spoke about that a moment ago. Moses brought them to Kadesh Barnea. And they were to go into the promised land. And they sent the spies in. One from each tribe. 12 spies they sent in. 10 of them came back with an evil report. 2 of them came back with a good report. Joshua and Caleb. But there were giants in the land. And they said, "We are as grasshoppers in their sight." Now, I don't think any of those spies went up to any of those giants and say, "What do we look like?" "Well, you look like a grasshopper." I don't think that happened. That was just something they assumed. We look like we are as grasshoppers in their sight. There's a lot of things that we can bring about in our minds and we can conjure up in our mind that really is not even reality, or it might be reality, but we can think something that can prevent us from doing the very right thing that we're supposed to do. And it was that case with Moses and the people of Israel. Now they lost that today. They failed that test. Now we come here to Joshua 3. God is commanding them to move forward. He's using Joshua now to move them forward, to go to take this land that God has promised to them. But as they're making their way, they come to this test. These are what we may call the trials of life. These are what we call the temptations of life. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Either way, I want to say this, and Brother Pastor York alluded to this morning very clearly. God is always, always proving your faith. Always. Through circumstances, through those testings, those trials, He's proving your faith. Not only is He proving your faith, He's growing your faith. He is maturing your faith. James, as it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Count it all joy. And he says that let patience have her perfect work, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's the purpose of it. There's a purpose of the trying of your faith. As Peter says, don't think it strange when you fall into a fiery trial. This is a part of our life as believers. There's the trials of life that we all deal with. We all struggle with. And we carry these through life many, many times. And they are for a season. But sometimes those seasons seem very, very long. But God is in control of them all. God is doing something in them all. And He wants to do something in your life through every single one of them. God is using them to prove us in our life. If you go back, if you go to Deuteronomy, we're right there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if you would look with me in verse 18. Moses is speaking, of course, to the children of Israel. These are the people that he led. And it reminds them, of course, at the beginning of chapter 32 of the rock that God is. That rock, he says in verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. But then he says in verse 18, of the rock, that capital R, that's God, that's the rock that he talked about in verse 4. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation. And notice this. Children in whom is no faith. No faith. Man, I hope that's not said of us today. Children in whom is no faith. But understand this. Those testings in life, those trials we talked about today, those temptations that we all face, those are the very things that prove our faith whether there is faith in us or not. Do we believe God or not? And remember, there will be the test to reveal what truly is in our hearts. Faith must be grown, and God grows our faith through those testings of life. Because as you see God work through your life and in your life, and you see God's power displayed, boy, that builds your faith, because something else is going to come down the road. And what you enable, God enables you to do through that one, and how you experience God through that will help you through the other thing that God has for you. And it happened here with the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 3. We dealt with that, as I mentioned a moment ago, as we were here 3 years ago in February. And, you know, I don't know. I don't remember ever talking about a thing called COVID or coronavirus. I don't remember that, but it was just weeks down the road. And we were talking about our deputation, our transition of a new pastor and all these things that were going on. And, you know, all gung-ho, I had meetings planned for May, everything ready to go, and then everything hit. What's God doing now? You know, this isn't the way it was really supposed to be. And we didn't know when it was going to open up. And when May was happening, and I thought, boy, okay, the timing of this really just isn't that great. You know, April 26th is going to come. That's my last Sunday at our church, our last Sunday. And then May begins, and I go from from salary to no salary. And I got to start deputation in May and keep this thing going. And I got to feed my wife. We're empty nesters, but she eats a lot, as you can see. And so we got to have the funds to be able to keep this thing going. How are we going to? You know, the churches are closed. How are we going to? How's that all going to happen? And nobody takes offerings. Offerings are done. How's that going to work? You know, we got to live on a love offering as we go through. The sport has to start, and once that flows, and sometimes that doesn't come very quick, and we got to keep this going. But you know, as I said it all before, you know, COVID affected the whole world, but in every circumstance, God is working in our lives very personally. And even though it was a worldwide thing that many people were dealing with, God was working in us in a very specific way. And we saw God do amazing, amazing things. The first Sunday of May, I did not have a meeting. And we were in Tennessee. We kind of took a break. We went to a church, two churches down there where we were just visiting. And then the next Sunday would be our first Sunday to be out on deputation officially. And from that Sunday all the way through, we never missed the Lord's Day that we did not have a meeting. Every church that I had planned for that back in January, every single one of them were all opened up. And we were able to have meetings Sunday morning, Sunday night, all these places. Didn't have a lot of Wednesdays, but every Sunday we had meetings. And in that 1 year, God enabled us to get the support that we needed. God will always give you an obstacle. God will always give you a test. Don't think it's the end. It tests our faith. With all the things that we could think of, oh, it was the wrong timing. Boy, we chose that one wrong. That was the wrong move. We didn't do it right here. We didn't do it right here. All the things that come to our mind many times to keep us from doing what we know we're supposed to do. But remember this, it is God testing you. God is going to put you through something because He wants to sow something great about Him in your life. Never forget that. And I want to show you here this morning this story, as we see of this miracle that God did through Joshua, through the people being obedient. And God had a plan for it. He wanted to magnify Joshua at this moment and put him in this leadership status, and Israel to see God working through him. And God had a plan in it all. But at the moment, many times it's difficult to see that. As I look through this story, I see two sets of three thoughts here. The first, I see a surrender of all of these people. A surrender here is on display. I see, secondly, that there's a sanctification going on, too. And that's very clear, because he says in verse 5, and the people, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So there's sanctification here that is going on in order for all of this to happen. And then we see at the end something very supernatural takes place. But also I see with God on the side, this is our part, surrender, sanctification, and seeing, being able to see something supernatural. But on the part where we see that God is at work, we see His presence here. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. And it's the very thing that they say, remove from your place and go after it. It's the presence of God. We see the power of God on display. And we see His promises fulfilled. And He promised that they would conquer Canaan. And notice what it says in verse 10. We'll get here in just a moment. He said, Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail. Does God ever fail? Never. He never has, and He never will ever fail what He says He will do. But it starts with something very basic. And it starts with a surrender. And we see that Joshua commands the people in verse 3. Gave a command. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. There is a surrender. A submission to what God has for your life. God's working in all of your life today. There's no doubt about that. God has a plan in your life. God has a purpose in your life. Remember what that main purpose of your life is as a believer, is reaching other people for Jesus Christ. That is your sole purpose. And it is what God has called each of us to do. We do it in different ways. You do it within your family. You do it within your workplace. You do it through your local church. Listen, may I remind you, God proves us. We want to pass the test. I want to, through this scripture, hopefully help in your life today that you can pass those tests that God gives you. And it all begins with this surrender. Are you willing to do what God has called you to do? And are you willing to follow through even when there is those obstacles in life? Are you surrendered to that? Don't remember, when the obstacle comes, it's not time to quit. When the trial comes, it's not time to take a step back. Oh, we need to stop here for a moment and pause on this. We need to keep moving forward. Surrendering to the will of God. God has a plan for your life. Listen, we're not here. Church is great. You need to be a member of a church and part of a church. You need to be involved in the church. But God did not necessarily call us to entertain Christians. Your job and my job is outside of this place. I'm glad for a place to come and meet and worship and have coffee. You got a Keurig in your lobby. I don't see that very often. You know, and Pete's coffee. One of these days, maybe we'll have our own K-cups. You never know. Maybe one of the days will happen. P14 K-cups, you know. But this is wonderful. But we come here to get encouraged and strengthened. Lost people can come into this place and hear the gospel. But the real work is outside of here. It's in all these neighborhoods. It's going house to house. It is door to door. And it is witnessing in the workplace. It is where you work. It's where your family's at in your neighborhood. God has called you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. And that's what God has called each of us to do. Are we surrendered to this very thing? It is what God is doing in each of our lives. And we see this. Notice what it says. Remove from your place. And remember, and a reminder to us, he says in verse 4, and he gives the instruction to it, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know that the way by which you must go. God was going to lead them. That ark was God's presence. God was going to lead them where, and he says, they gave the distance of where they would be so they could know which way to go. Because he says and reminds them, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. I am grateful, so grateful, and I know you are too, for the presence of God. God never leaves us. His presence is always with us. Let the presence of God comfort you in your life. I'm glad that God is the God of my past. He is present in my past. He has forgiven my past. He has covered my past in His precious blood. He is the God of the present. He is with me. And we need the presence of God at every moment of our life. Especially when I'm driving in Nicaragua, I need the presence of God to protect me. And God protects us. We get stopped by police all the time. They're at checkpoints. And I think they see a white gringo, you know, oh, we got one right here. And, you know, you're over. And my wife talks me out of it every time. Thank the Lord. You know, she just says, shut up, let me talk. And I said, okay, you need to talk. You talk the whole way out of it. And she does an awesome job with it. But we've seen God work, keep us from accidents, keep us from problems, keep us from trouble, keep us from danger. God's presence is always with us. And I'm glad that God is the God of the future. And I love the expression, and I won't show all of them, but Moses in Deuteronomy, he says, He is the God that goes before you. He's already there. He's already there. God is already in the next week, in the next week, in the month, in the years. He's already been there. And we saw that evident in Nicaragua. We were there. I was filling the pulpit here in August. We were leaving in September. We were still planning. We went to Nicaragua in July, planning all of our place where we would live, a vehicle, all the things that we would need, not knowing how everything that would unfold. But I know this: God goes before and plans everything. When we arrived in Nicaragua, we had a house, we had a vehicle, we had everything that we needed. God goes before us. He's the God of the past, the present, and the future. Not only that do we see this surrender, but it's a surrender to the presence of God, because He is present. But we see also, secondly, here the sanctification that is involved. In verse 5, Joshua says unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How many want to see God do something great in your life? I want to see God work in my life. I want to see God answer prayer. I want to see God unfold the things that I desire. I want to see God do that. Seeing God work in my life and trials and testings and everything that we've experienced in Nicaragua and getting there and to this day and everything God has done. Went through stage 4 cancer in 2014, and God brought us through that. God brought healing. I'm grateful for all of that. Been through trials. You have too. We've all been through those. But there's this sanctification that God wants to do in all of our lives, because He wants to do wonders in your life. He wants to do some amazing things. But do we live a sanctified life? Joshua says, sanctify yourselves. Tomorrow God is going to do wonders among you. The Bible commands us, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen, Christian, I just want to remind you this quickly this morning. God has called us to holiness. In the time that we live in a very evil world. Would you not say that? You'd agree with me. It is waxing worse and worse. When the LGBTQ movement is widely accepted, when you have a drag queen in the pulpit, and everything is accepted as it is today, we live in an evil time. And what I fear is the world has become so wicked. We live in, I don't know what Sodom was like, but maybe similar to it. But it has become so wicked. Christians have 20, 30 years ago lived a certain way. We've now changed to a certain lifestyle. We're still far away from the evilness of the world, but we've changed some things. God has called us to sanctification. To remove the sin from our life. Remember the worldly lifestyles, the worldly way of life. Many times we have adapted that to where now we do the same things as the world. We say the same things. We go to the same places. We do everything the same. God has called us to sanctification. What is in your life today that you know God is dealing with you about? Only the Holy Spirit deals with you that way. And He reminds us and He shows us what needs to be changed. Sanctify yourself. Joshua told the people, God is going to do wonders among you. And then lastly, we see, not only do we see the surrendering to His presence, we see the sanctification, we're going to see His power. There's no question. But lastly, we see the supernatural. Here we see the faith being practiced and God working in a supernatural way. Look at the instruction that was given. Jordan was overflowing its banks. This was the obstacle between them and Jericho, taking Jericho. But you had a river. And it had to be at the time it was flooding. Did God arrange all of this? Yes, He did. Was God testing them? Yes, He was testing them. This is how we can pass the test. Surrender yourselves. God is present. Sanctify yourselves. We need to see the power of God working in our life. And we see this displayed by an act of faith that we must all practice in our life. Look in verse 13. As this was commanded, and it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people were removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up and heaped very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zarephath, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and of the people that passed over right against Jericho. That's something supernatural, isn't it? Only God can do. And notice it was, the Bible says, as soon as. Man, I've seen that God work in many, many ways. As soon as you move forward in faith, God parted waters. We've seen it evident in our life through this whole journey to this day. As soon as we move forward, not knowing how it's all going to work, but we move forward. Listen, young people, may I say tonight, this morning, and maybe you're here, and maybe God's working your heart, maybe to do something, or God's called you to do something. How is that going to be possible? How could that all work out? I want to encourage you, the moment you step out in faith with God, God will part some waters. He will do it in your life. And He will do it in a supernatural way. When you just, going back to the beginning, surrender to the Lord. He will do what is beyond human ability, human planning, human strength, human intervention. Only God can do these things. And God works through our life to accomplish it. Our students saw God work in a very powerful way. We challenged them to fast. And so we were in need of funds. And I think it was in, September, October. And we needed God to provide and feed them. It takes a lot to feed those students. And we're going through a difficult time. And I taught on fasting to the kids. And some of them had fasted before and prayed. But their idea of fasting was to skip breakfast. I do that every day, you know. That's not an affliction to my body if I skip breakfast. Lunch, yeah, that's a little more difficult. And you go past supper, and I'm getting pretty hungry. And go to the next day, I'm really hungry when I wake up the next day after not eating for 24 hours. And so I try to teach them some fasting and try to help them with that. And so we, as a student body, and all of us, all the students, we fasted for 24 hours from supper to supper. And they did not eat, and they struggled through it. You know, the afternoon we had classes, and they were hanging on. They were ready to, it looked like they were ready to pass out. But we prayed through that, and we prayed at breakfast, we prayed at lunch, and in the afternoon we had prayer times. And it was interesting, as we prayed for that, just 2 days later, I got a call when I was talking, and the guy that had started this ministry, he had some equipment he was trying to sell. He says, you know what? He said, something weird just happened. He said, I've been trying to sell two pieces of equipment for over a year. Never had a phone call. And yesterday I had a phone call, and somebody just called me and said, hey, I want to buy those pieces of equipment. And we had enough money for the rest of the month to buy the food. God does miracles, and He works in supernatural ways when you step out in faith. Are you willing to put your feet in the water? Are you willing to understand this is a test, and I want to pass it because I want to see God do some amazing things? We see, I believe, in this story what God obviously can do when you surrender to Him. He's present. He's real. He's a real God. Young people, this morning, listen, He's a real God. Experience Him. Experience Him. Understand this. Surrender to Him. Sanctify yourselves. What is in your life? What is in your life that you know you need to correct? You know you need to deal with. You want God to work in your life? You want Him to see you through these moments? Hey, what is in my life that I need to change? What is it I need to correct? Because God wants to do something in you and through you. And God will do the supernatural because He has promised. What did He say in verse 10? Without fail. It's God's promise. God promised this land to these people. And yes, were there going to be testings? Yes. Was there going to be obstacles? Yes. Will there be trials? Yes. But don't forget the promises of God. And God wants those promises to be fulfilled in your life and in my life. May God help us to pass the test. What is the test going on right now in your life? Maybe there's something you're dealing with. Test. You want to pass it? And see God do something great? Then may the Lord help us to follow through, surrender to it, sanctify, and let God do something supernatural in your life. God is able.